And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Rap music that makes you a bad person all the time.
That's true. Okay. The explicit version.
He's the white devil.
Clap music. The white devil.
My cat is on my desk. My cat will probably be on my desk multiple times through the show.
I wish you did.
Because she is a pain in my ass.
Well, doesn't sound comfortable. Oh.
You're going to fix that with two steps. One, kill cat and eat cat. So now you have food and no pain in the ass.
Was that one step or was that both steps that you gave me?
I think I just combined them into one step.
You have two steps. Do this.
Yes,
unless it doesn't digest well, then you do have a pain in the ass still.
Don't eat the claws.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Patty.
And this is the SML Podcast. Another interview today, along with another visit by the Shizinator, Shiz Blacka, the White Devil, Sean.
Nice. What's up?
And then we are joined by the one and only Matt from Vector Unit. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Yeah, you know, just doing okay.
aside from the cat problems.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Man. That's what happens when you have five of them. So anyway, tell us a bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm one of the co-founders of Vector Unit. My business partner, Ralph Nocell, and I started it about 8 years ago. And Ralph is the technical guy. He's the programmer. He built our engine and, you know, he basically does everything. And then I'm the sort of creative slash art slash, business guy.
You're the pretty face.
I'm the pretty face. Exactly.
So do you keep him locked up in a cave or something? And you just
exactly. He stays chained in a basement coding.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Laying down the law.
It's funny because, like, our roles just sort of naturally turned into, I mean, it started off with just I was the artist and he was the programmer. But then we sort of over time, since we've been running the business, like, have divided up. Like, he's also the treasurer because we need someone to actually and bookkeeper because he has to, you know, somebody has to do all the number stuff. And I'm the guy that, like, reads all of the legal contracts that we deal with, which is super exciting. Because I have an English major, and so I know how to read, I guess. So all of this kind of just like fell into different categories at some point.
So you were the English side of the SATs. He was the math side.
Exactly.
All right.
Nice. That's kind of cool that you guys were able to split the roles as you went along and didn't have to worry about bringing in like extra people to handle it.
Yeah, exactly. We're able to do all of it ourselves. I mean, for sure we bring other people in from time to time. I mean, I can't, you know, sometimes we have to have people look at contracts for us and.
That's the insane stuff nobody wants to actually have to know.
Yeah, exactly. I just kind of look at all the stuff. Like, if it's not too scary, I'll look at it. And if it's like some kind of scary contract that involves like real money, then we'll have somebody else look at it.
Yeah. Whereas I'm more like, oh, yep, there's definitely words on this page. Where do I sign? And that's why I'm on this show forever.
Nice. Get wrecked.
I own your soul.
I like how we started off talking about video games and we like basically quickly devolved into talking about signing contracts.
Welcome to the SML podcast.
Oh yeah,
pretty much. Get
back, you know, we usually tie it back in somehow.
Yeah, we'll get there. I was just about to ask, for the people who don't know, who is Vector Unit and what do you guys make?
So we are a really small video game developer. I mean, we have pretty much like three full-time people and then a bunch of contractors and outsourcing people that work with us. We've been around, like I said, for 8 years. We mostly make racing games. We started off doing our first game was Hydro Thunder Hurricane for the Xbox 360.
Which was awesome.
Thanks. That was kind of the game that, you know, essentially like made our reputation. And then after that, we switched over to doing mobile games and we've done a bunch of mobile games for the last few years, like the Riptide GP series and the Beach Buggy Racing and Beach Buggy Blitz games and then and Shine Runner. And then now we're kind of, we've started kind of moving back into doing console stuff again. So now we're kind of splitting our time between console and mobile.
Nice. Your most recent game was Beach Buggy Racing, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And then before that was Riptide GP2. I believe Shiz and I were both playing it near religiously for the past few hours.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I love that game. I had no problem going back to it and restarting it for the stream. It was awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, we're working right now. The game we're working on is the sequel to that, which is Riptide GP Renegade.
Okay, I was right. It is Renegade. Is it coming out in April still?
Yeah, actually, April is end of April, let's say.
Nice.
I think that's pretty realistic at this point. We've been kind of slowly edging the release date back, but we don't have we haven't officially announced the release date. We'll know better once we actually get the game into like certification testing for Microsoft and Sony.
That's the right way to do it, though. You know, hey, we're working on the game. We got a rough out. We have a quarter we want to release it in, and we're going to work towards that. Rather than hey, we're releasing it on this day, and then oh shit, we can't.
Yeah, no, like Mighty Number Nine.
Yeah, exactly. It's a moving target, but we're kind of slowly catching up to it. So
we'll expect it for mid-August, I guess.
Yeah, I hope not.
I'm definitely going to be all over that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been really fun. I mean, it's been so the thing about like Riptide, like I said, you know, Riptide started on mobile, right? And then last year we came out with console versions of it for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And we like up-resed the mobile version for the consoles. But the whole thing was still essentially rooted in like the mobile version. And so with this game, because the console versions did pretty well, like we decided to kind of double down on console. And so Renegade is actually designed for console. And then we're kind of porting the mobile version off of that. But because of that, you know, I mean, it's been taking us a lot longer than we originally expected it would, just because there's a lot more detail and stuff that has to go into it. But yeah, it's getting there.
I'll be honest, I cannot tell that Riptide GP2 was based off of the mobile game.
Me neither.
I
knew Beach Buggy was, but I didn't get that feeling when I played it.
I mean, it plays like a console game. It looks like a console game. It doesn't feel like a mobile game ported over.
I'll even tack on, you know, I had never played it until yesterday because I'm very bad at racing games for the most part.
He's bad at every game.
Yeah. But we're having you on the show. I got to at least play the game and know what I'm talking about. And I had to admit, it was pretty easy to pick up and play. Very easy to take third place. but I'll say it was gorgeous. You know, I never would have guessed that it was a mobile game originally. My only issue is that every single level that I play, I just want to turn that into a lazy river. This water looks really nice. I kind of want to just be floating on that right now.
We were just saying that.
You unlock the inner tube and
we were just saying that for a $5 game, it makes no sense how good it looks.
Oh,
it makes no sense how good it looks.
Yeah, it's funny because like on mobile, like I mean, Riptide's a premium game, so it's not, you know, it's not a free to play game. And
thankfully,
you know, it's like a $2 game, say on mobile. And okay. And so when we brought it over to console, we were like, I don't know. I mean, how much can you charge for this game? Like it had already been out on mobile for almost a year when it came out on the Xbox, and so. We were like, all right, $5, like that seems pretty reasonable. On mobile, if you try to release a game for $5, people would be like, it would be like a revolution. Like people would be like, how can you charge $5 for this?
It's heresy.
So, I know.
I would much rather pay $5 for a mobile game than get a free game that costs me $10 and buying upgrades and power-ups and all stuff.
Yeah, pop-up ads after every round. That's like,
you
buy more crystals
that
right
will
now.
Be $10 for 14,000 coins.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You came in second. Pay 99 cents to refill your health meter to try again.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck you, game. How
you
about
guys are
that?
Depressing me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most people, I think a lot of people don't realize like how much free to play games cost to play, you know? I mean, if you really want to play it.
Well, I'm sure it's more than zero, so.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. They got to make their money somehow.
Free to play is never free to play if you really want to play.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, yeah. What made you guys settle on only doing $5 for GP2?
Well, I think we were kind of afraid to charge more than that because we've been doing mobile for so long. We just weren't sure like what people would pay, and we thought there would be a perception that it was a mobile port and stuff like that. And so we just kind of settled on $5. But then it seemed like that was at launch. Actually, I think now it's on sale. If you guys got it recently, it was on sale. But it's actually, I think it's $7 now. It's $6.99.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How dare you?
Yeah. That's still ridiculously cheap.
Highway robbery.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, people on console seemed like they were totally fine with that price. And then when Beach Buggy Racing came out, because that was, like, we felt like a more full-featured game than Riptide 2 was, and also it was more recent. We released that for $10. And that still seemed like a price that people thought was really fair.
It was like $8 when it came out, right? I think it was on sale.
Yeah, maybe it was. It was gold? On sale like the first week.
I feel
week.
Like yeah. It was $8, but that's like I don't know. I would have paid 15, even $20 for that one.
Don't give him ideas. Knock it off, Shiz.
Yeah, I want him to get rich as fuck so he could keep pumping out games. I'm just saying.
Are you guys eyeing a $15 price tag for Renegade?
Yeah, Renegade's going to be like more than we don't know for sure yet, but it's going to be more than Beach Buggy was. But we're still looking at keeping it pretty affordable. I mean, you know, we don't really want to, we don't want to release like a $20 or $30 game.
$49.99.
Yeah, exactly.
Half the content. The rest is DLC.
Just played it. $50 bowling game and had less fun than I did with your $5 racing game.
That's what I was gonna say. Like I've played almost every indie game. Like I get 75% of the indie games in the past year, and I got more fun out of those $5 than a lot of games 15 or 20.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, $15 to me still seems like a pretty like reasonably cheap price, but not too cheap. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, Renegade
is competitive.
Renegade's going to have a lot more than Riptide 2 had also. I mean, the big thing is it's going to have online multiplayer.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
Which, at the time that we did Renegade, it was just, like, the sort of developer tools weren't quite there to make it easy enough for us to implement it. But now the tools have gotten a lot more mature, so we decided to go for it with this one. So it'll have online multiplayer, and then, like, a lot of the same kind of game features that Riptide 2 had. Like it'll have split screen, and we added a quick race, and we're going to have the ghost racing is going to come back.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited. If it's as good as GP2, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, our goal with Riptide, when we decided we wanted to do like a console, sort of a console first version of Riptide, we looked at some of the stuff that we had done for Hydro Thunder Hurricane and decided to kind of bring a little bit more of that over to Riptide. And so, because we kind of felt like Riptide, even though we really like Riptide, it felt a little bit serious to us, and we wanted it to get a little bit more like ridiculous. And so, I mean, not ridiculous, like silly, but more just kind of like over the top. So like the new tracks are a lot more kind of Hydro Thunder style, where there's some point-to-point tracks. There's a lot of kind of stuff that gets triggered, like while you're driving through the tracks, like things falling over and exploding and cops chasing you. And, you know, there's a lot more interaction that's going on. We brought over the idea of the transforming boats from Hydro Thunder. And so the jet skis transform, like when you earn boost. They kind of like open up and like the engines open up and like electricity starts coming out of them. And so like all of the effects and stuff like that are a lot more amped up. And there's going to be like characters, different multiple characters that you can unlock and choose from.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there's a lot more going on.
Is there going to be a lazy river mode like Pappy wants?
No, we hadn't even thought of it. But now that we did.
Lazy river mode.
DLC. There we go.
That's going to be. It's going to be a $30 DLC for sure.
Fuck yeah.
Can you enable avatars so I can watch myself get destroyed when I crash?
I would consider it if I got to Lazy River as my psychopathic looking avatar. Just sipping on a Mai Tai going down the water.
Nice.
I really do miss games having avatar integration. So I don't know if it's too late in the game to look into getting avatars in the game, but that'd be fun.
Yeah, you mean like the Xbox avatars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I feel like that never really got utilized as much as it could have.
I think it's something that they tried to go like, oh, hey, the Miis are really popular over in the Wii universe. Maybe we should do something like that for Xbox. And people are like,
I thought it was cool.
It seems like they're trying a little harder to bring them back by making it more prevalent in the new dashboard. It's easier to see them and get to them. Plus, mm-hmm. Unravel, if you pre-ordered it, you actually got a Yarny avatar item. So,
if you really wanted to get really big on Xbox consoles, you have to find a way to let you play Call of Duty with your avatar.
It's funny because that's genius.
Just hit up the Xbox 360 indie section. You'll find 400 different first-person avatar shooters. But they're all paintball.
Yeah. And they're all terrible.
We pitched, when we finished Hydra Thunder, we pitched Microsoft on the idea of doing like an avatar-based jet ski game. That was before we did like Riptide or anything like that. We were just like, we wanted to do kind of like a wave race style game.
That'd be cool as hell.
That's the exact thing. It would work better on Beach Buggy with the big heads.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could totally just throw avatars in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with as good of a job as you guys are doing with your games, I think I could trust you to make a good avatar game.
You could trust us with your avatar?
Yes.
Take good care of your avatar.
My sharp-toothed, psychopathic avatar that I will never change.
Nice. Beach Buggy Racing Extreme, now with avatars.
That's awesome.
And decapitations.
Oh my god, yes. M-rated Beach Buggy Racing. You guys just pull a Conker and go over the top M-rated with your next one.
So like, we've already come up with like two amazing game ideas so far in this conversation.
It's like Beach Buggy meets Road Rash for the new generation. See,
that's what happens when you come on SML. You get tons of game ideas thrown at you. They're all fucking terrible. But exactly. Under the surface, they're kind of okay.
I know the sequel to Road Rash, Road Redemption, was supposed to come out and never happened, so...
I think there's a reason for that.
No, it would be amazing. I'm just saying, Renegade should maybe have some chains and some bats.
We get a lot of requests for that. Like when people, I think a lot of times, like people are always asking, like, oh, when I do a sidekick stunt or something, could I like kick the guy next to me off of his jet ski?
I'd be worried that every computer opponent would beat the ever loving shit out of me because I don't know who Dylan Magana is, but he's a cheating son of a bitch in Riptide GP2. Do you know him? Is he a real person? Can I punch him?
He's just pure computer magic.
He's pure evil. Computer evil. Pulls ahead of me in the last 5 seconds of a friggin' elimination race. What a dick.
Yeah, you know, it'd be awesome. You know the stunt when you press, I think it's just left, where you just kick to the side of things like can or something?
Right.
You do that next to somebody, you just kick them in the face. Boom.
Right, exactly.
Knock them off. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
DLC tricks. Microtransactions.
Season pass.
There is also a lot more. I mean, like, ragdolling is always fun, and so we put more opportunities for ragdolling into
it. Nice.
I didn't even realize you could crash until I, you know, tried to do a stunt a little too late on a jump. It was like, oh, well, that happened.
I'm so happy that I never really paid attention to the achievements of Riptide GP2. So when I went off a jump near the finish line and I just wrecked and I went across the finish line in first, I got an achievement out of it.
Right.
I was so happy to see that happen.
When your limp body, like,
so good. I don't remember if I had to do that one on purpose or if it happened naturally like you. I really don't remember. It's so good.
Face down, drowning, but I got 30 gamer score out of it, so
nice.
It was worth it. So I know you're not the tech guy of the team. You're obviously the beauty of the beast. How in the hell did you get the water to look so friggin' good in this game?
It's really all all Ralph. I mean, the so we started off like the first project, or I should say like maybe the second project that Ralph and I worked on. We used to work at a company called Stormfront Studios, and we did a game there called Bloodwake, which came out on the first Xbox.
Oh, Bloodwake! Holy shit!
Do you remember that?
Yeah, back when Microsoft was actually like trying with different IPs and properties, yeah. And it wasn't just the same four games every year.
Yeah, exactly. Like we pitched Microsoft way back when on like a, this is in like 1999 or something, on like a boat combat game. And they originally, it was going to be like a futuristic game. And then they came back, and the guy who was like the creative director or whatever that they kind of assigned to it was the same guy that one of the guys that worked on Crimson Skies. And so he was all into the idea of like these alternate realities. And so he was like, what if it was an alternate reality game where we set it in like 1920s, like China, and like all of the warring factions were like different sort of alternate reality, like Asian factions. And so sort of Bloodwake kind of spawned out of that. It became this weird kind of Asian steampunk, like fusion boat combat game. But, I sort of diverted there. Oh, right. So that was the first game that we did like Water for. And even back then, I mean, kind of the original inspiration for it was we were looking at the Xbox, sort of that hadn't come out yet, but we were looking at the specs that had been released, and we were like, what could we do on this that we couldn't do, you know, on like a PlayStation 1 or whatever? And Water was one of the things that, you know, that we thought of. And Ralph had read a bunch of tech about like a bunch of white papers about like the way that they had done Water for like the movie, like The Perfect Storm and stuff like that. And so he kind of developed like a real time rendered version of that. And it's okay. Just sort of, and then we rebuilt that engine when we started Vector Unit for Hydro Thunder. And we've just kind of kept adding to the technology like over time to like add little, you know, different features. And actually the water looks even a lot better in Riptide Renegade now. Like,
I can't wait to see that, because it just looks ridiculous in GP2.
Cool. Yeah. No, you're going to like it. I mean, it's got more, like we're doing more interesting stuff with like the foam and the boat wakes now, and, or the jet ski wakes. And there's like some stuff, like when the camera goes underwater, like everything gets all blurry and stuff like that. So.
Awesome. Well, I mean, for a jet ski game, I guess it's pretty important that the water looks good. So
you would think so.
Well, and it's like one of the great things about it is the great things about a water racing game is that if you can make the water look good, that's basically like half of what you see on screen pretty much is just like the water, right? And so pretty much everything else can just look pretty good, and the water makes it kind of brings up the level, you know.
I couldn't even tell you how everything else looks compared, because I'm always staring at the water. I mean, I'm not even sure I'm on a boat half the time. I'm just on the water.
That's how we hoodwink you.
It's like, yeah,
good,
we actually
good
saved...
use of the word hoodwink, by the way.
Yeah, we saved money by having your ski-do randomly disappear to save on processing power. You never even notice because you look into the water.
Every three frames, it's all completely gone. It's just nice. Water.
The billboards are 8-bit, but you don't notice.
There's billboards?
Nice. Oh, man. Yeah, it's fantastic. I am super excited for Renegade to come out. Like how big compared to GP2 is Renegade looking to be, like track wise, vehicle wise? Is it going to be bumped up from 8 players to like 12 or 16, anything like that?
No, the scope of it, I mean, the scope of like what's in it is pretty similar. Like there's about, I think right now there's 9, maybe there's going to be 10 different tracks. There's about that same number of vehicles and about that same number of characters that you can unlock. And then there's the, and then you're still racing against 8 players. I mean, that's kind of like what we feel is like, it's been the sweet spot for us, but, and the online will be 8 players also. And then like for split screen, you know, you can race up against, like on the PlayStation, actually you can race up against 4 people at a time on split screen, but on the Xbox, because it supports more controllers, you can do up to 6.
Nice, nice.
Okay, nice.
It's always cool to see developers make use of the fact that Xbox can support, you know, 6 to 8 controllers compared to PlayStation only having 4. And something I'm wondering is a lot of games today are completely dropping local co-op or local split screen gameplay because of processing reasons or everything else. How are you guys still managing to squeeze 6 different screens in there?
Well, I mean, that's like the good thing about us, you know, leaving console for a while and doing mobile is that we have like optimized the shit out of our engine for mobile. And so, I mean, you know, the game runs with like lower graphics settings on, you know, like an iPhone 4 or whatever. And so when we are running on six-way split screen, we can basically use some of the same optimization techniques. So as you add, you know, as you go from like 3-player split screen to 4-player to 5-player, we keep dropping like different, you know, graphics features and some of the levels of detail in the game. And so, you know, essentially like the Xbox is easily, it's not even as low as an iPhone 4. It's like 6 iPhone 5s or something like that, you know. So it still looks pretty good.
Makes sense. Either way, you're losing more space on the screen. You won't notice that stuff.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the screen is smaller. That's the other thing about doing this with 6 players. Like, everyone's got an Xbox for the most part. It has like a big TV, right? Or at least a reasonably big, like widescreen TV.
And so I play on a 12-inch black and white.
Right.
Same.
Black and white tube TV.
I actually just fixed my rabbit ears.
Perfect. Yeah, with like the scan lines and the.
I had to change the channel with the wrench.
Yeah.
You say that, but I just I went home in September and just helped my parents pick out their first non-CRT television.
It's awesome.
Man, I remember needing pliers to turn on my old TV because the knob was gone.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Pappy could vouch for that. He used to come over my place.
Yeah. With the parents, it was hilarious because I'm talking to my dad about, you know, preparing. I'm like, yeah, so you're going to get a TV that's Wi-Fi enabled. And he's like, I don't need that. I'm like, no, you've waited so long to buy a television.
It's not an option anymore. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
You don't need to use it.
It was pretty fantastic.
You just reminded me, when I was like 13, I found like a tiny little like 12-inch TV or something that was black and white, and I just put it in my room to play Smash Bros. But because I played too fast, I couldn't see anything. So I was so happy and instantly so let down.
It couldn't even refresh fast enough?
Yeah, I was like, I could practice. Nah.
Oh, man. I miss old days of gaming.
I don't. I do and don't.
Remember,
it's like I always have these ideas about like games that I played back then that where I'm like, God, that game looks so good, and then I'll like bring it up on like MAME or something, and I'm like, oh.
I think I miss some of the aspects of it, like, you know, chilling at Joe's house, playing, you know, some games with him, or having people over at a party at his place, and we're all just taking turns. But the games themselves, yeah, I don't miss the games necessarily.
See, we've discussed this on the show so many times where I find it easier to like go back to Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo than to go back to Mario 64 because early 3D graphics are just so fucking ugly.
I just can't do it anymore. Like the early 3D stuff is just like I could play Perfect Dark on my 360, but I can't play on the 64 because it's too fucking ugly.
I was gonna say, that came part out, of the problem with the Rare Replay was trying to play some of those older games and be like, oh, I can't even look at this.
Yeah, something just aged so badly. Like, some of my best memories of my life, but I just can't do it anymore. It's just so fucking garbage.
Like, I'd rather play Atari or NES than to play PlayStation 1 or N64.
I'll play Super Mario Kart before Mario Kart 64 any day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Like the old 3D stuff just totally didn't age well at all. Like, I think people were so enamored with the fact that there was just anything happening in 3D that, like, I don't know, maybe they just didn't really work at it or something.
Well, I think we
didn't have the technology.
We needed that initial work and breakthrough so we could get to the better stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
But either way, when it came out, it was amazing. Like now, it looks like shit because it's just come so far. But when it came out, it looked great. Like playing Ocarina of Time, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to stab my eyeballs, but then it was amazing.
Right, but you could go back and play like, you know, one of the 8-bit Zeldas or something, and it'll be really fine.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Link to the Past, Link's Awakening. That's my shit.
My shit, so cool.
It's all about the top-down 2D Zelda games. This 3D
That's
Zelda
probably
shit.
That's why I like Isaac so much, because it reminds me of old-school Zelda.
Yeah.
Only sadder.
Sadder and more depressing.
Man, just some of those Zelda stories are not exactly happy either, though.
True. Yeah.
Majora's Mask, I replayed that like a year or two ago, and I was like, no wonder I'm so fucked up. This is weird as shit.
Oh, is it the water temple or whatever?
Not even, just like the mask guy, like instantly I was like, get away from me. Like it's really weird, man.
So I think it would be cool for Riptide GP Renegade to have like a 64-bit Easter egg graphics mode.
Nice.
God.
Where everything is just super low polygon count, blurry and ugly.
We can talk about that later when I review one of the games that I played. We can talk about
Oh, I'm so excited right now.
But we'll save that for after the interview.
Yeah, I know you said you didn't have too much time. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you want to talk about. I don't want to keep you too late.
I got another like 5 or 10 minutes, I think.
Shiz, do you want to like just go on about how much you love the games?
Man, I don't even know what to say without sounding like I'm just kissing too much ass. Honestly, like, I don't know, Riptide, the only thing I didn't like about Riptide
is that it just required
grinding. Like, you could only get so good, but at one point your jet ski is just not fast enough, so then you have to replay the same race so that you can upgrade it or buy a new jet ski and then move on. So
yeah.
I remember when I played it, because I did it pretty much, I think I tried it like the Friday night, okay, this seems cool, I'll try it tomorrow, and then the next day I did like 6-7 hours straight and perfected it, got all the achievements. But I just remember getting bored because I was redoing the same race over and over just to upgrade. So
yeah,
I remember that was just
that
too much of a grind.
Actually, like on the mobile version, we, you know, people kind of, because in the mobile version we had IAPs, like you could buy, you know, cash to upgrade or whatever, and people basically making it hard so that people would, you know, buy cash in game. But really, I mean, we just tuned it because we thought it was sort of fun when it was hard like that. But also, I think one of the things is when we've been playing the game ourselves for a year or whatever, we get it's hard for us to kind of realize like what people who haven't been playing the game for a year, like how long it's, you know, like that they might not get first place every single time.
Yeah, we hear that a lot on this show, where developers just don't realize the difficulty of their game until other people play it, and they're like, why is your game so hard? And the developers are just like, it's not.
Yeah,
just bad.
Tuesday, yeah, we were interviewing one of the guys who were in a Fortified. He was like, yeah, we made sure to get playtesters in there because we were kind of skewed on how hard it was.
Yeah.
And even at that, I don't know what the hell those guys play, but man.
we definitely
the amount of games we play, we shouldn't struggle as hard as we do on normal, but that's...
Well, no, you guys shouldn't. I will.
Yeah, Pappy always will always be bad at everything.
Yeah, but I am too. But I mean, at least I could beat games on normal. Not be halfway through and be like, "Well, I'm done."
I have a built-in 300 millisecond delay.
Pappy needs to calibrate his internal lag.
That's your high latency, man.
Yeah, I've always had a high ping. I don't know.
So Pappy, you have your question you like to ask. I don't want to step on your toes. So
I don't know. I mean, it's just a fun racing game. Generally, I always ask the developer who comes on, like, what kind of drugs you guys were doing when you had this idea.
No,
but,
not that question, dickhead. Your question.
That's my favorite question.
It was mostly beer. It was mostly beer drugs. Nice.
See the lazy river thing, you know? I knew it.
Yeah.
See, you need lazy river mode in Renegade. Yeah.
One of those floating coolers, you know?
Yeah. Well,
since Pappy didn't take the opportunity, I'll ask. When you guys...
I was actually going to do it.
Go ahead, Shiz, you do
it. No. It's your show.
When you guys aren't working on the games you're working on, what are you playing to relax?
It's kind of different. It's kind of different for each of us. Like, so I would say Ralph really likes racing games, but he also plays. All of us play racing games. It's not really different. I take it back. We're all exactly the same. So, like, I really like racing games, like especially classic arcade racers. I haven't been playing too many lately, just because, I don't know, like a lot of the new racing games that are out, I haven't been super into, but like I loved like the Burnout series and
those were
probably the last ones that, and I like the Need for Speed games too.
Have you played the new Need for Speed?
No, I mean, I played a demo of it.
Don't. It'll hurt. You'll just be sad.
That's what I heard.
That's too bad. I played the Need for Speed, the mobile one, just because I kind of wanted to see what they did with it. There's the new free to play one on mobile.
I haven't played it. I'm a Windows Phone owner, so like nobody gives a shit about us.
Same. I just like my achievements.
Hey, let me ask you this then, since you're a Windows Phone owner. Like, one of the things that we're doing for Renegade is it's going to be a universal app on Microsoft, which means you'll be able to, well, just like our other games, like you'll be able to buy it for desktop and then you can also play it on your phone through the Windows Store. But with Renegade, it's also going to have Xbox Live, and it's going to have cross play with the Xbox. So if you, if you're playing the Windows version, you can play online multiplayer on Xbox Live with people who have the Xbox version and with people who have the Windows Phone version.
That's cool as hell. That's
amazing.
The one thing about it that's the tricky part is if we want to, like there's a possibility that we might be able to basically do one purchase for the whole thing. But if we do that, that means basically probably what we're going to do is price the whole thing like for the Xbox and for Windows desktop, which means that people who have Windows Phone are basically going to pay like $10 or $15 or whatever for it.
Yeah.
But that means that then they can also play it on the desktop and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'd buy it. Especially it has achievements in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got all of that stuff. And it's all like, cloud saved and stuff like that. So, I mean, the way we're thinking about it is really you're kind of buying it for the desktop. And then if you want, you can play it on your phone too.
And with the progress sync and stuff?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Man, I'm all about it. Because I bus 3 hours a day, so that's like I've been grinding bingo, and that's what I've been doing, playing on the bus. And then I transfer my progress to my PC and I stack the achievements and I play there. So I would definitely do that with Renegade in a heartbeat.
Sweet.
Well, I am definitely interested if there's going to be not only a Windows Phone version, but if it's cross-buy, cross-play. I wish more people would do that. I wish more people would give Windows Phone some love.
Yeah, we actually have, I think almost all of our games are on Windows Phone. Maybe Beach Buggy Blitz is the only one that isn't.
Do they have achievements?
No, they all, we don't have Xbox Live in any of the games that are out currently.
You gotta update them.
So you don't have any games on the phone is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing that you need to worry about.
I'm such a piece of shit, sorry.
Oh man, yeah. I wish more people would do Xbox enabled games on Windows Phone. So you guys could always go back and update those games with achievements.
Possible.
That'll get some belated sales on our end.
Oh, I'd get them. I'd get them. I would definitely replay those games for another set of achievements. Hell yeah. Thank you so much for patching Beach Buggy, turning that from 100-hour completion into like 30-35.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, when I found that out, I almost cried.
Yeah, I know. There were, what's funny is like it was actually mostly people because I think on PlayStation, there's more people who are kind of obsessed with the idea of getting all the achievements. I mean, all the trophies they call them, because you get the platinum trophy if you get everything. But, and so people on PlayStation were really bitching about like that, those two really grindy achievements. And so it was really because of them that we were like, okay. They're right. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, let's relax those. And so we tune those down. And then we basically, because our game is cross-platform, so we changed that. We put it out on everything. And then in the end, Sony actually rejected the change because they said that it wouldn't be fair.
Oh, wow.
They said it wouldn't be fair to, like, the people who did 20 people or whatever that had actually done it, like, on the hard version. If we made it easier for everybody else. And so they said that we couldn't do it. And so so we actually did release that change for every single platform except for PlayStation. Like the PlayStation.
Except the people who wanted it the most. The people who, yeah. who bitched so the loudest.
They got Battlehide. They got Battlehide.
Oh, God.
That sucks. I'm so glad that, I don't even remember how I found out.
I think it was during a stream. Someone came in and mentioned it, and you're like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? And then you switched over to the game immediately.
I immediately canceled everything, and I was like, it's Beach Buggy time. That's the thing. It pissed me off, because like, I'm an achievement whore for sure, but when I like a game that much, like, I have to 1,000 point it, but I was like, I'm not doing 70 hours of grinding for like 60 gamer score. Like, I'll just have to deal with the fact that I'm not completing this one. So when it got patched, I was like, all right, well, this is our next 2 days, guys.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely, we took that lesson to heart. Like, we haven't figured out the final list of achievements for Renegade yet, but there won't be any in there that are, like, super grindy like that.
Awesome.
Name drop us in an achievement.
The
first one, when you level up the first time, just call it Someone Might Level. Nice. SML.
I actually have an idea one day. Like, I would love to just have the chance to tell a developer, like, especially if it's a shooter, you know how there's always like, kill 10,000 people, and you're like, cool, this is going to take 17 years of my life. I want to make an achievement in a game where it's like, kill 1,000,000 people, and then when you get your first kill, it pops and just says, just kidding.
Oh, that'd be great.
The only thing is, achievement hunters would not buy the game, because it'd be like, no, I can't complete it, fuck it.
Oh, the first day that that game is out and people figure it out, exactly. They'll be like, oh, I guess I'll buy it anyway.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea for an achievement, though. I really like that idea.
It was kind of like a good achievement. Fucking marathon. Sorry,
you
I'm playing trials.
You guys played like Stanley Parable?
Yeah.
They had some really good achievements in that game.
Stanley Parable and Deadpool, I think, had the two funniest sets of achievements that I played in a long time.
Yeah,
there
Deadpool
was that
had some
you had
ridiculous
to go and,
ones.
Like, knock on some door like 20 times or something, but then after you did that, it was like, oh, you have to go over and like stand on top of the copy machine. Oh wait, no, now you have to go over and just, like, go around for like half an hour
just to make you look an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Oh my lord. So anyhow, what else is planned for Vector Unit after Renegade? Do you guys have any plans for after that, or any possible DLC plans for the game, or is it onto a new project?
Well, we'll probably do some kind of DLC. At the very least, we'll do some kind of like, maybe, you know, like a little bit of extra stuff, like a new, maybe a new track and a new, you know, Hydrojet and character or something like that.
Lazy River mode?
Maybe Lazy River mode. We have talked about having game modes in it, like sort of different, you know, whatever, just like non-racing game modes, like something.
Like, I don't even need a racing version. I just need to like plop my ass down the Lazy River and take 10 minutes to finish this map, just because.
Or you combine it
so
with Saints
relaxing.
Row and you make like
it could
a
be like a
Connect
version.
There we go.
You have to actually paddle with your hands.
Basically, what it is I need the water park next door to open up so I can get in the Lazy River.
Oh god!
Amazing. You just jump off the jet ski and you doggy paddle through the race. And you have to focus on your stamina.
Would you guys take any pages from Trials and go with some crazy over the top stuff? Like maybe instead of a jet ski, you're like riding a seal or something.
did they do that way for you? You could do a dolphin.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's, you know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, like, for mini games and stuff like that, that we've been thinking of is like a water ski game where like a co-op mode where one person is like towing the other person. You have to like, I don't know, run through some obstacle course or something.
Oh,
like that.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Always make elimination of multiplayer mode.
Yeah, we have like the one thing that we did this time for now anyway is like. In split screen, there's like you can choose to play as teams. So if you have you can do like, you know, you and your friend can team up against the AI, or you can also like if you have four people or whatever, you can each sort of divide up into different teams.
That's neat. I like that.
So, but yeah, I mean, we have
Road Rash. One guy grabs the racer, the other guy beats him up.
Get the chains and the bats.
Exactly.
Always with the chains and the bats.
Wave wash.
Yeah, you got to make it family friendly.
And on that note, I think we need to actually let you go here. We've already taken up 10 more minutes of your time after you said 5.
That's perfectly fine. But yeah, I probably should go, but it's been fun talking to you guys.
It's been fantastic. We thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully when Renegade is nearing release, we could cover it on our show and maybe get you back on then to talk about the game some more.
Yeah, definitely. It would be great to have you guys take a look at it.
Expect me to bother the shit out of you for a press copy so I can stream it.
Yeah, definitely do. We'll be able to hook you up.
Nice. Oh, I'm super excited. Thank you for the two awesome games on the one.
And thank you guys for, like, you know, your interest in the games. I'm glad that you guys liked it. I'm glad that you weren't all like, this game's terrible.
And I want to thank you for the extra copies that we'll be giving out next week. We've been pimping it on Twitter for people to send us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com telling us why you want the game. And if we like your answer more than everyone else's, you have a chance of getting a code thanks to Matt.
Nice.
Wow.
Because he's awesome
to
pimp
it on my chat.
The more the merrier. The more people we get playing it, the happier we are.
Indeed. Nice. And it's fantastic. So again, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us and listening to us ramble on. And hopefully we'll get you back on again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to.
All right. Have a good one, Matt.
All right. You too. Take it easy, guys.
Oh, that was fun. I love talking to people.
Yeah.
I like talking to people that make cool stuff.
I like talking to people that are better than you. So, yeah, this works out.
Oh, correct.
People are fun.
Yeah. So, next stage.
Sorry, fucking trials. God damn it.
He kept it in pretty well.
Trials!
I've been playing this the whole time, and I'm just...
Trials of Aura!
So, what's next? Do we want to get into some game stuff here, or do we want to wait for Hubert to actually answer?
Well, he messaged me earlier. He's like, did I miss the show? I'm like, well, we're doing an interview, because he called me at 8:30. So he said to try shooting him a call when the interview is over to see if he could join us, but I'm guessing that he might not be available.
Yeah, he's with the groupies now.
He's a boner.
So yeah.
Play testing with groupies.
I played a video game.
I was going to say, we could go into games, or we can take care of a giveaway.
Let's do the giveaway first.
We are doing a giveaway for Bike Mayhem 2.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to the awesome people. Where's Goldmark Studios? The game came out February 5th for $7. And we got ourselves a handful of codes to give away. And by a handful, I mean a whopping 4. And we asked you fine folks listening to send us an email with like a good memory or a good story that was BMX related. Easy as that, right?
Yeah.
And now we got to pick some people to make happy and some people who are going to be sad.
Oh, we got more than 4 emails.
Yes, we did. I think we have 7 of them.
Damn. All right. Time to start making sadness.
Let's making make people sadness. Cry. Making it. The sadness. First up is Nick Simpson. I'm going to write these down so I can keep track of who.
Don't remember him on the show.
Is it related to Bart?
You're a dickhead. My story really isn't a good one, but it's my most memorable BMX bike story / injury from when I was younger. I was about 6 or 7 at my babysitter's house, riding my bike in front of her house on the sidewalk back and forth. And back then, I didn't really know how to stop my bike or use the brakes. So what I would do was drag my feet, the toe of my shoe, into the ground until I skidded to a stop. Well, one particular day, I was riding my bike on a hot summer day, and I was wearing flip-flops but didn't think anything of it when I went to stop myself and ended up raking the tips of my and tops of my toes across the sidewalk, skinning and bloodying them. All I remember after that was crying a lot, my mom being called to come get me so she could take me to the doctor to get cleaned up and patched up. Luckily, I didn't lose any toenails, and while I still have a couple of visible scars on top of 2 toes, everything healed up.
Ow.
So you're not giving them a copy, right? Is what you're saying?
Well, we gotta read everybody's entries.
Ouch.
Oh, ouch. Man. Nick, Nick, Nick.
I broke my arm riding my bike because I thought I mastered the whole pedaling with no hands on the handlebar, and it turned out that I hadn't mastered that yet. I think I was like 4 or 5, so I can commiserate. Holy shit!
Well, we have Chris.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can also hear the background.
Up, I'm literally sitting at the dinner table with the rest of my band.
Nice. I'm talking to my man.
You wanted me to try calling you, so I tried calling you.
Well, yeah. I have like maybe 2-3 minutes tops.
Oh, hey, at least now you can say that you made it on the show.
Yeah,
I did. Technically, I made it. I made an attempt.
Oh wait, quick! What's up, everyone? I'm Joe.
I'm pretty sure you're way past that point at this point.
We're only 45 minutes in. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that all of that was just like it was a stinger.
It was the cold open.
Damn.
That'd be funny if it really just was the entire interview is the cold open, and we just play the music right now.
That's a terrible idea. And I think the likelihood of you going back and making the edit is very slim.
Oh, man.
I agree.
Who knows? I'll just sneak in a second intro theme right there.
That would actually be really damn funny.
So Chris, is there anything you want to say for the 2 minutes that we have you?
Yeah, there was one quick thing that I had to address because I was told that I had to address it for the episode. Rocket League.
Dianetics.
Right.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Don't worry, I got your side on this one later.
Okay.
I think we're all on the same side for this one. Yeah.
Who was the one that was like?
No, we're not calling anyone out individually on the show. We're just going to. I actually did factual research, and we're going to address a faction of the gaming.
The fact that I know the question.
Well, yeah. Well, the fact is, Rocket League was a free game on PS4.
Cool.
I bought it on Steam and all the DLC, and I plan on rebuying it. On the Xbox One. So
Chris, nobody buys free games.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I bought Rocket League on Steam, and I'm going to buy it on Xbox so I can play with you and Joe.
Yeah, see? That's... Yep.
So I got it for free on the PS4, and I never played it, but I can't wait till it comes out for the Xbox One so I can play the fuck out of it.
Yeah, because you don't have friends on PS4 to play with you, so that was your problem.
True. Although I could technically play with Chris on Steam because it's cross-play, but even cross-play, apparently PC players hated the fact that it was cross-play so much.
It's not cross-chat, is it? Right, so you wouldn't be able to communicate.
Yeah, it's completely cross-platform between PS4 and PC.
That's cool.
PC players hated it so much that they added the feature to disable it for PC gamers, and pretty much all of them disable it.
Why did they hate it so much? Because they just don't want to play with console peasants? Or
I get that and lag and skill and everything
more the
else.
Lag.
It was just a joke. But yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to buy it on the One, and I'm going to stream the fuck out of it. And I'm gonna get my anus kicked.
True.
Nah.
If you wanna start a squad, I will hit you up.
It'll be the four of us.
We'll wreck face. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm pretty good at.
Yeah,
I'm
you gotta take Chris really first. Like take Chris is your first pick, and then after that it's like dodgeball. It's just
I was gonna say that. All right,
it'll be the four of us. Someone might launch. SML, baby.
Someone might lose, and it won't be us. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, we're going to let you get going because it's kind of noisy over there, so we're going to let you do your thing. We will cover Rocket League a bit more later on. So.
Good. Well, right. Now you know my stance on it. So.
Enjoy your dinner, boy.
I shall. I'll see you guys. Hopefully I will see you guys next week.
Maybe.
Take care.
Peace.
Hopefully. Even if it's just for a couple minutes like now.
Hey, Chris, you have any final words?
My final words are all hail Rocket League.
Nice.
Oh, man. All right. So we just did Nick Simpson's Bike Mayhem entry. Let's get back to the contest.
Yeah, let's do, and then I'll get back to the next.
And then we'll talk Rocket League. Next up is from Tembo Elephant writing into us. He says, I grew up always wanting a BMX bike because I love X Games growing up. And grinding on a rail with pegs on your bike seemed like the coolest thing ever to a 10-year-old me. I remember asking my mom constantly for one seemingly every day for months and months, and she always said no. I was probably so annoying and whiny about it, thinking back. Anyway, I remember being so dejected and sad I couldn't get one until Christmas morning that year when I came downstairs to my very own red Mongoose BMX bike with a giant red bow on it next to the tree. I didn't even care about opening the other presents. I had to instantly take it outside in the cold and attempt and fail at grinding on surfaces with my pegs. It was the best.
I mean, as long as you started like, oh, I can't wait to start grinding surfaces, and you start with, you know, like the curb. And I'm like, oh yeah, dude, I'm totally gonna try these grinds. Let me find that fucking, you know, 80 foot drop stairwell. You know, let's try grind that.
I remember when That's I lived funny. In Hazleton, me and my brother, there was like down past the railroad tracks, there was a little wooden area in the back that like someone built a tabletop there, and there were ramps and shit everywhere. It was so fun.
It's awesome.
I was gonna
I
be
used
an
to
X
just go to the park
kid.
With rollerblades and try to grind benches. I busted my ass so many times.
Good.
Yeah,
you deserve it.
Hard to know.
Next entry is from Nick Nunn. BMXing was such a huge part of my life growing up. I could never skateboard because I had terrible balance on them, so I always focused on BMX. I got my first bike when I was 11 or 12, and me and a couple of friends spent most of our time after school riding around this remote cordoned off area of our middle school, grinding on benches and bike racks until they installed cameras back there the summer before eighth grade started. I continued to ride and hang out through high school, the newly built skate park downtown, where I met and made so many of my friends I still have to this day, even though I don't bike as much anymore because of college and having no time.
No time. Don't tell us you have no time if you want a video game. Come on, man.
Fair enough.
True.
I want this game, but I can't play it. fuck you, Trials.
Email number
four. I'm trying to be quiet. But,
Next email is from Daniel N. He says, let's just say that you should always listen to your parents when they tell you you should always wear your helmet when riding your bike. I once flew over the rails of my bike face first and almost cracked my skull open like a coconut.
Ouch.
I'm going to write that one down on my piece of paper as coconut.
Yeah, one of my friends lost, I think it was 2 days of his life from, his was skateboarding, but yeah, he wrecked without a helmet when he went into a coma for 2 days.
Good Jesus times.
Christ. Yeah. Always wear your helmet. Doesn't matter how silly you think you look, it's better to still have a face when you're done.
Yeah. You look a lot cooler with a helmet than in a hospital bed.
Oh, I like it.
True.
Put that on t-shirts.
I'm too lazy. Next email is from Jordan Phipps. Hi, guys. The best BMX story I remember was when I was just a wee teenager, and I made the trip to Blockbuster Video to rent BMX Triple X. The game was so horrible that not even boobs could save it.
Yeah, no, I kind of want to give that to that kid for playing that piece of fucking flying fart.
Piece of flying fucking fart. Flying fart.
Yes. Yeah, that's widely regarded as one of the worst quote-unquote sports games ever made.
It was a game so shitty that Dave Mira sued to get his name taken off of it.
Yeah, when you're a teenager and boobs don't make it better, you know you've got a terrible thing on your hands.
Yeah,
and rest in peace to Dave Mira. Yeah. Sucks that we lost him last week, but...
it wasn't everybody, man.
I know. It's a shame.
True, man.
Anyway, next email is from Rob Hester. One of my favorite BMX memories was beating the BMX game in California Games after weeks of trying as a kid. I loved that game. So did I.
Right.
Don't remember that one.
Is that six or seven?
We have one more.
One more. Okay, that was
one
six.
More. And this is from Ian Lindsay. My favorite... My phone went off.
My favorite...
Yeah, phone...
The mic didn't pick it up, but...
Yes, well, we did.
But I don't
yeah,
it was
Skype picked it up because it's sitting next to my iPad. My microphone didn't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part.
Well, we just pointed out to everyone listening right now.
I know. So here, I'll do a quick reenactment.
Nice.
Nice.
Anyway,
so unbelievable.
Ian writes in, my favorite BMX memory is playing hours upon hours of Dave Mira BMX on PlayStation 1. That game was amazing and have been hoping ever since something similar would come out. This game would be great to win since I love them so much.
Oh, hey, that was really the only person to reference, give me the game.
So we have 7 entries and only 4 codes. So 3 of y'all are going to be pissed.
Well, damn, this is hard, man. All right. Do we have a consensus?
We have the Bloody Toes. We have the Christmas Gift. We have Biking with Friends at School. We have Cracking a Head Open Like a Coconut. Renting BMX XXX. Beating the BMX portion of California Games. And playing Dave Mira as a kid.
I think the guy who rented BMX XXX deserves a better game. Like, right off the top.
I think the two that busted themselves up probably.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, those three, and now I got to decide who the fourth goes to.
Part of me wants to give it to Ian for the Dave Mira reference, just because we lost Dave
Mira. You know what? And he's the only one who was straight up. He's the only one who included the email, and I want this game because.
Well, we technically aren't having people tell us why they want
it. Yeah, I know, but I like the boldface. Right now, I like greed. It'll probably change, but right now, I appreciate it.
So it looks like Ian, Nick Simpson, Daniel N., and Jordan Phipps are going to be our 4 winners. Apologies to Tembo, Nick Nunn, and Rob Hester.
Hey, and I'm sorry to you guys, but on the plus side, you all have very positive memories, which is more than you can say about 3 of the 4 winners.
Yeah, true.
They're going to get PTSD when they play the game.
Oh, poor guys. But yeah, congrats to the 4 winners. Apologies to the 3 losers. It's not fun being a loser.
They're the 3 not winners.
Shiz knows how bad it is to be a loser in life, so.
All right, yeah. So moving on.
Like being 14 tracks deep and having one crash. Fucking marathon achievement. Anybody who's listening who played Trials HD could feel my pain.
All right, so
we recently
got news that an awesome game is coming to the Xbox.
Rocket League is hitting on the 17th. It is priced at $20, same as everywhere else. PS4 is $20, Steam is $20, and both of those platforms also have 3 different DLC packs that are $3.99 each.
So,
Xbox One version of the game includes all 3 of those DLC packks. So that's $12 in DLC included. Plus, we get 2 exclusive Xbox vehicles based off of Halo and I believe Gears of War.
Yeah, Wardog.
So there have been a vocal minority out there saying that nobody should buy the Xbox One version and nobody will buy it. Because
it's not the should. There was more than one person. You know, one person brought it to our attention.
But there is a vocal minority out there that believes that nobody's going to buy it on the Xbox One because nobody wants to buy a free game.
Now, the first bit of research I did was actually to research cross-platform ownership. Now, this was very hard. I finally found some Nielsen. Now, granted, the Nielsen information I found was 2012 and 2014. But whereas up to 80% of all households have what's considered a gaming device, but they included tablets, PCs, and consoles. They didn't break it down into, you know, because a lot of the households referenced were saying like, oh, we have a Wii U. Oh, we have an Xbox 360. I couldn't get straight stats on how many people had Xbones and PS4s. But the most recent information I was able to get was only 27% of owners game cross-platform. Okay. So that means only 27% of people who said, yes, I own a gaming gaming console or a computer or a phone said I play on more than one. So that first off that, oh, no one's going to buy it, you have now immediately assumed that every single fucking person has a PC and an Xbox, or a PlayStation and an Xbox.
Yeah,
so right there, I'd like to just poke giant holes into these vocal minorities. To be honest, the only stats I found was that most people had a tablet or a PC and one console. Who said they had more things? Mm-hmm. So now we're even shitting on the only place it was ever free was PlayStation Network, and that was for a brief amount of time. What, just a month? Joe?
For what?
How long was it free with PlayStation?
With PlayStation Plus, yeah, it was just a month.
Okay,
that
so
makes sense.
One console for 1 month, it was free. But most people who own an Xbox One do not own a PlayStation 4. If you have both, you are in the minority. You are under 25%.
And I have a PC that could run it, but I don't play on my PC ever, so
yeah,
I'm going to get it no matter what.
I have the PC version, and I honestly had a very hard time getting a hold of friends who were around to play, who had it. You know, Steam is great about showing who have it, but a lot of people, I appreciate it, dude, but I'm playing the new Metal Gear game. Yeah, well, I already have a team set up, stuff like that. So
yeah,
the Xbox is now a chance to start fresh, where I get it, and you get it, and Chris gets it, and Joe gets it, and it's like, hey, we all have it. We all just got it. We don't already have our gaming buddies for it. Let's do this.
Yeah, and you can get achievements.
And the next fact is this thing won fucking Game of the Year awards. In a
Tons
lot of
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Sounds. Why would you think that people are going to be like, oh, well, it's just a fucking $20. It's a $20. I'm not paying for that. It's like people are going to look at it and go, hey, yeah, finally a Game of the Year came to Xbox.
It is a huge sensation that was on the PS4 and on Steam, which, by the way, I looked it up and over 2.7 million people bought it on Steam for $20 or whatever sale price
just
it was
Steam?
At the time.
Yeah, just Steam.
That's Steam.
Motherfucker.
2.7 million people own it on Steam.
And you know, some of those Steam gamers absolutely are going to go, why would I buy it when I already have it here? But some of them are going to go, dude, I've been pestering my buddy to play this for months, and he only has an Xbox One. I'm going to pick it up so I can play with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't understand this negative review. That's the part that bothers me the most. It's pure negativity. You know,
and you know what? If you want the game, buy it. If you don't, you don't. Then, case closed.
It'd be one thing if a lot of these people were voicing the opinion of, I personally won't get it. You know, I already have it, or I picked it up when it was free. That's cool. You're now voicing an opinion. But when you turn around and state, one's going to get it. Oh, no, no one's going to buy it because it was free once on a different console that most people don't own.
Yeah.
That's when I take offense to it. You know, this
or it's
is
like even on the one, if something you missed something when it was Games with Gold. You know, like you didn't get iDarb on the first month, and then you're like, well, it's $15. Like, nobody's going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it and stuff.
Dude, iDarb's a great example. iDarb's a great example. That thing's been growing by word of mouth. There's people still buying it brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus the DLC that came out.
Yeah, I picked up the DLC. It's fucking hilarious. You know,
I haven't even played the DLC, but I had no problem picking it up because I love it so much.
Joe has mentioned this before on the show with people who complain about, oh, well, it used to be free or it should be free. And if it's a good game, it's a good game, and people are going to vote with their wallets. So it might flop, but you know what? It's not going to flop because it was free on PlayStation Network for 30 days. I guarantee
it's not going to flop because, first of all, we know it's Rocket League. It's not going to flop, but
friggin' everybody except like two people want it.
Yeah,
yeah. I have no problem dishing out $20 for that game,
least,
but it's also
there's a dozen
on the game too, I guess.
But it's I was really upset when I saw that opinion being voiced in more than one location by more than one person. I was surprised and disappointed. So, you know, and this isn't me, you know, for anyone who's listening there who takes that stance, this isn't me being like, oh, you're such a dick, you know, what, you know, you're an idiot or whatever.
I mean, you are, but not for this reason.
No, I'm just saying,
not for
like,
this reason. It's just an
I support you having an opinion. I just don't support anyone who takes that opinion and tries to pass it off as fact. You know?
Yeah, because it is clearly not fact with how in demand this game has been. And we're finally getting sure, it would have been nice to get it earlier, but it was a fucking Sony exclusive. They had a year exclusivity on it, and now we're getting it. And we're getting $12 in bonus DLC for the wait, plus exclusive content only on the Xbox One.
And either way, I think that I'm assuming that the main reason it's even hitting the one is just because of how much of a success it was.
Yeah, there's been such demand for it on the Xbox One that developers are finally saying, you know what? Yeah, we're going to give it
really,
to you.
Do you really think that they looked at it and went, well, hey, let's just throw it out on the one without people going, hey.
I want this shit, yeah.
Yeah, and
a dev is not going to waste their time. You know, like,
that's one of
Shovel
the main
Knight.
Reasons I've been wanting... Is what, sorry, one of the games that I've been like, ah, man, I wish I had the other system so I could play it.
Yeah, look at Shovel Knight, man. You know, they didn't just put it on the Xbox One because, oh, it's popular on DS, let's make it on Xbox. No, they put it on Xbox because people were going, hey, dude, we will play the shit out of Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah, I got a day one.
It's a money... As much as I love games, it's still a business. It's marketing. No one's going to do something with a popular game that's not going to further its popularity.
Exactly.
True. So, yeah, that, I don't know. They could always be right, and maybe next Wednesday will roll around, 12 people will buy it, it'll be a flop, and no one will ever play it.
Yeah,
but
you know, yeah.
If I were a betting man...
Yeah, and I'm gonna get off my soapbox, and I'm going to go pee.
Nice.
So, we should probably talk about...
I get is that it'll be a lot of bang for your buck, just because... like, I've watched enough videos to know that that game... It's well worth the 20.
Oh, clearly.
You could just play that months on end, especially if you're playing with friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to finally give it a lot more time than I gave it on PlayStation, just because I'm not a fan of playing stuff on the DualShock. And now that I'll be able to play it with an Xbox One controller, I can't fucking wait to give it some proper attention. And I will gladly drop the $20 to get it. And who knows? Maybe there will be a launch discount. We never know.
Yeah, true, with the discount with gold and stuff. If you want, I know you're busy, so I'll ask you right now. On Wednesday when it comes out, if you want, like, I'm going to be streaming it, so we could team that shit if you want.
Probably.
Cool.
If I'm available, I know next week is going to be MAGFest, and I'm not sure what day I'm going, what time I'm going. I really don't know what the plan is yet.
Let me know. You know where to find me.
True. Anyway, there's a little bit of news that we could tackle before going into our featured games of the week. The smaller news is that four new titles hit Xbox One compatibility today from the Xbox 360. You have been losing your goddamn mind about Trials HD being playable, including the DLC. Sam and Max Beyond Time and Space is now available. Lego Batman is available. And Alan Wake American Nightmare, which ties into the bigger news, Quantum Break has officially been given an April 5th release date for the Xbox One and Windows 10, which,
that's awesome.
Which is news to many people, and a lot of people have been throwing a bitch fit, I guess is the best way to put it.
Why?
Because... some of the people online are bitching that it's another exclusive that's no longer exclusive.
Oh, like, I saw you tweeted that guy who I started reading his tweets, and he canceled his pre-order because it was coming to a different fucking platform.
Yeah, not only did he...
It's Microsoft. Whether it's the system or the PC, it's Microsoft.
Yeah, not only
Again,
did
do
he...
Do you think Microsoft is going to cut their own balls off when
no, but that's
money
like saying,
to be made?
Like, it's coming to the Wii U. Wait a minute, it's coming to the 3DS. Fuck this shit. Like, why? It's the same fucking company.
Yeah.
The funniest part is not only are people losing their shit out of it, and that guy in particular losing his shit over it, but he lost his shit at Phil Spencer, which I found fucking hilarious. He said, let me pull it up here. I'll pull the tweet up directly.
I'm pretty sure Phil Spencer, shed a tear and wiped it off with a $100 bill.
Well, this guy said at Xbox P3, sad to say I canceled my Quantum Break pre-order as I said I would. You weren't upfront about Quantum Break going to PC. Phil Spencer said, you canceled a pre-order for a game that you want to play because someone else gets to play the game on Windows?
Yeah, and then the kid tried to turn it around as well. It's not that it was open for, another console. It's that you weren't honest and direct.
Well,
bullshit.
He said he's doing it on principle. It wasn't listed.
Did they ever say this game is never coming to fucking PC?
No, they never gave a definitive answer either way, but they were never like, it will never be on PC.
So then you're not lying. Yeah. You're hedging your bets.
The dickhead replied, it's on principle. It wasn't listed and suddenly gets listed a month before it releases. And I know Halo, Gears, and Forza are next. Phil Spencer replies, I said it over and over. We are focused on the best place to play for gamers, not about creating walls.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Phil Spencer wins this round.
It's not like the game's going to PlayStation.
You know, and I'll give
even
the guy
like that,
credit.
Man, who gives
you know,
a shit?
I'm going to give Phil Spencer props for even bothering to respond.
Yeah. And and the craziest part is it's not like it's going to Steam. It's going to Windows 10. It's still going to be an Xbox title. It's just going to be playable on Windows 10.
It's still a Microsoft exclusive.
On top of that,
Microsoft. Who gives a shit, man?
On top of that, they announced a pre-order bonus for the digital version of Quantum Break on the Xbox One. If you pre-order the game digitally, that Windows 10 version, you get it free.
Free. $3.99, motherfucker. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Also, if you pre-order it digitally on the Xbox One console, you get Alan Wake American Nightmare for free.
Well, I'm going to be making a pre-order after this.
Also, if you get the game in general, it comes with the original Alan Wake plus Signal and plus the Writer DLC.
That's awesome.
I still need to play that game. I mean, I played a lot of it, but I never beat it, so boom.
And let's toss out like one more on top of that here. If you don't have a console and you're looking for an Xbox One for Quantum Break, you can drop $350 on a 500 gig white console with a white controller, with Quantum Break, with Alan Wake, with the DLC. And because the console version is going to release a week early for people to preload the game, as long as you do it before the game releases, you get the fucking Windows 10 version free as well.
That's holy awesome. Shit.
All for $350. So the people bitching about this, you need a fucking life. Just buy, sell your.
I'm not going to be as mean as Joe here, but I'm just going to say, man, you know, wake up. Don't talk about something that's outside your wheelhouse of knowledge. I don't bitch about marketing decisions if I don't understand the level of marketing that they're doing. You know, I don't bitch about quantum physics because I don't fucking know.
The hell happened there?
I don't know. Microphone.
the same dickhead on Twitter said the games are on PC, so why buy an Xbox? And on Reddit, my response was, because I like gaming on a console and not having to worry about specs and compatibility and the fact that my PC's 5 years old. That's why I game on consoles, convenience and ease. And clearly it was the top comment on the fucking thread.
So let's take this anger rant and I'll grasp onto a portion of your comment about consoles versus PCs to go into the game I played yesterday.
Which is
Firewatch.
Indeed. I forgot. I wasn't sure if you were going to cover that one or if you were about to talk about.
I'm in day two of Firewatch, so I can at least give a first impression.
All right. So Firewatch, developed and published by Camposanto for Steam and the PS4. It released this past Tuesday, February 9th for $19.99. I don't know if there's any Steam sales for it, but if you're a PS Plus member, it is $17.99. And there's also a $21.99 bundle that includes a dynamic theme for the PS4.
And here's where the first thing I'm going to say, I played on the PC. I cannot speak to the PS4 version. I did watch PS4 footage. And what I can confidently say is if you're very interested in this game and you have a PS4, pick it up on the PS4. I loaded it on my PC, which is, again, it's a gaming laptop. It's not the most powerful thing in the world, but I can handle stuff up to, like, Crysis. I can handle the Crysis.
Not on ultra settings, though.
No, not on, but I can play Crysis. All right, so.
Okay.
This game I had to drop down to the lowest of the lowest settings for all graphics.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I was still only getting about 6 to 10 frames per second. I was jittering the whole time.
Damn.
Holy shit.
And when I went to taskbar, the game was using 56% of my CPU and 50% of my RAM.
Holy shit.
So, again, I went and talked to a coworker who's far more knowledgeable, and his comment was that he's like, it sounds like they did not optimize the game. They didn't actually go in there with the coding to optimize usage. Basically meaning if you don't have top of the line best of everything, you can't get the best out of it because they didn't streamline the coding.
Yeah. Sounds like you can't even play the fucking thing. Forget get the
so
best
it
out
was,
of it.
It took me an hour to get to the end of day one, which if you watch the footage, you can do day one in 30 minutes or less. But it took me that long because I had to run everywhere to move forward. So I can say that the game is very interesting from a storytelling point. It actually pulls an up on you, the movie up, in that it's text and you occasionally choose a reply.
Shiz, are you breathing in directly into the microphone?
I mean, I'm wearing a headset.
So
Why, you hear it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll mute
it. It sounds like it's windy.
Well, now he's muted. Now we don't even hear him.
Yeah, I'll mute it till I need to speak. Good old trials, man. Good old trials.
Just like breathe away from the microphone.
I'm wearing a headset.
Just don't get angry and you'll be fine.
It's like saying like...
You're a panther.
Move my face from my face.
Do a Tazon day and turn away from the microphone to breathe.
Again, I'm wearing a headset.
Chocolate rain.
So yeah, anyhow...
You
occasionally have a few dialogue options to choose from, but it's a relatively straightforward story about you and your wife, and it will just cut to have you like move, put your stuff in a truck, or walk through the woods, and it's basically introducing you to your job as a firewatch volunteer, as it kind of tells you why you volunteered to be here in the first place, and it's depressing as fuck.
Oh God!
Not going into any details, it's depressing as fuck. So you already immediately start the game off, and you're like, I don't even want to move anymore. I don't want to. But it's very interesting. And again, it's kind of a walking simulator. You just go around and you tell people to knock shit off. And you're as the story builds to the end of day one, but most of day one is just spent walking around, getting to know the controls and the area, and learning how to utilize your map and compass and stuff. So I mean, it was fun for what it was. I enjoyed a lot of the dialogue options, and the other thing I'll say though, I had to switch over from controller. And now, Joe, you're the one making a lot of noise.
I was just gonna say, like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Joe, it sounds like you're taking your pants off.
I had to get up and do stuff, but it's not picked up on my mic, so don't worry.
So anyhow, I felt like I was getting.
It wasn't
loud.
Picked up on my mic.
Yeah, Joe has a separate setup.
Okay.
Anyhow, the other bummer was that it wasn't being responsive at all with the controller. I had to cut to my keyboard halfway through because it was frustrating. Sometimes the controller would work, sometimes it wouldn't. So,
Sounds like a lot of fun. It's just your computer can't really do it.
I'd say unless you've got a perfect top-end gaming PC, I'd say right now it's a deny it until they patch it.
So a walking sim that your computer can't handle.
Yeah. It's either – I won't even say deny it. I'll say try it. But there's going to be enough backlash that they're gonna patch it and have it run better. And then I can't wait to play it.
I was going to say I don't think it would be fair for you to give it a deny it just because your computer can't really handle it.
I'd say a try it on PC because – but again, most people who game on PCs, they're not fucking cutting edge people. You know, but if you have a PS4, pick it up, man. It's a very interesting game.
I've heard a lot of good about it on the PS4. I unfortunately haven't been able to pick it up because money. I initially requested it on the PS4, but they sent the Steam code, so I figure Pappy would give it a go.
I can't wait to play it more, but I'm not touching it until they patch it.
the only gripes I've heard about it so far is that... there's very little replayability to it. It's pretty much you beat it, there's story, and then it's done, and that's it.
No, I can see that coming already. Once you figure out the whole point of your time being there and what's going on at the end of day one, I think, then once you answer that question, the only other option... now, the part that cracked me up is...
that's the whole genre.
There's people setting off fireworks, right? So I'm in the woods. There's a burn warning. So no fire, no fireworks or anything. And there's people setting off fireworks. So that's my day one task, is to find them and tell them to knock it off. Turns out that there's two drunk girls, skinny dipping.
Bitches.
And they were the ones who were. So there's dialogue options, and you know, I'm trying to be kind of nice, like, hey, you know, found your fireworks. You can't do that. And then they're like, oh, who the hell is that creeper? And then I walk over to the boombox and pick it up because it's playing loud ass music, and. The lady's like, no, we promise we'll be good. We won't do that anymore. You know, just put my boombox down. The other one's like, "Oh, you're such a creep. I bet you got a really tiny dick." So I just turned around and threw the boombox into the fucking lake. And it actually reacted. Like,
amazing.
When it hit the water, it actually fizzled and the sound went out. So
that's awesome.
He really said, "I bet you have a tiny dick."
Yeah, so I just turned around and threw it in the lake, and then I got on my my radio and went, "Yeah, took care of the issue," and then walked away.
The game knows you, Pappy.
I was just going to say, if you get so mad that they called your dick tiny in a game,
I wouldn't say I got mad. I just like to say that was the reaction I would probably give in the real world if I was holding someone's $300 stereo and they insulted me.
Those are some stupid ass girls. He's holding my expensive shit. You got a tiny dick, bro. Rip.
Hey, I'm a 45-year-old man who's in the woods because I'm depressed. You'd really expect me to roleplay any other way than asshole?
True.
Yeah, true. Fucking blue box.
Next game to talk about is, we covered this one a few months back, Marvel Puzzle Quest, developed by WayForward, published by D3 Publisher. We covered it on the Xbox 360 when it first came out. It was planned to release by the end of the year on the Xbox One, but it ran into some kind of delays. It finally released on February 5th on the Xbox One for $14.99. I enjoyed it back then. I still enjoy it now. I've been playing through it again. I actually got further now on the Xbox One than I did on the 360 because I play everything more on the Xbox One. It's Puzzle Quest, it's Marvel, it is hilarious writing because WayForward. It's just fun Puzzle Quest matching. There's dozens of different Marvel heroes that you could pick. You choose three to go into battle against three enemies. You clear different colored gems to deal damage based on the heroes that you have. You earn mana or whatever, the AP, whatever, when you match them, which you could use on different abilities, like, you know, putting special gems on the board that do extra damage or dealing direct damage to an opponent. They have assist cards, I guess, that you can store three of them. They're single use, but you collect the little circular orbs on the gem board, and you can use those cards that are super powerful attacks. You know, some of them, like Juggernaut, he'll just destroy like 16 random gems. Wolverine, he has attack. There's just dozens of different special cards that you could use as well, different levels as well.
Because there's 7,000 Marvel heroes.
Pretty much. The game, visually, audio, it's basically the same as the 360 version. The big difference is how they made up for the fact that there was a delay. If you remember, when we initially covered it, there were two DLC packs, Science Friction and The Case of the Cold Chimichangas. They were $4 each.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously Deadpool. Those are $4 each. With the Xbox One version, they are included for free.
Oh, good. Now, I heard that the game is even more fun than Gems of War. Is that true?
It's hard to compare them because while they're both gem matching games, one is more of a fantasy element that's free to play, and the other is buy once and you get it all, and it's superhero related.
True.
I think I would give the edge to Marvel Puzzle Quest just because of how big it is.
Okay.
There's just so much to do in it, and there's no microtransactions to nickel and dime you, which...
Yeah, that's what Gems, how much is the game? It's like 15?
Yeah, 15.
$14.99.
Okay. So Gems in Canada, of War, it's like $48.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm just going to go take out a loan. I'll play some Puzzle Quest later.
To the credit of Gems of War, the microtransactions in there are incredibly benign. Like, there's no need to ever spend a penny if you don't want to.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Gems of War nailed it with microtransactions, and I have poured way too much time into it. Marvel Puzzle Quest, $15 up front. It gets you the full game, which is like a prologue and then six different chapters. It gets you the Science Friction and the Deadpool DLC, and it gets you Thor, Goddess of Thunder character, which isn't available elsewhere until mid-March.
Oh, that's cool.
And nice. awesome props to them for doing the modern Thor and not giving in to misogynists.
Well, it includes the original Thor as well. Goddess of Thunder is going to be a bonus DLC character on other platforms March 15th for $2. But she's included with the Xbox One version. So
Xbox One.
You get
Time-wise, like gems, if you want to, like, if I want to get all the achievements, it could be between 50 and 100 hours. How would Puzzle Quest be in comparison?
Oh, God. I have no idea.
I'm assuming it's going to be a long motherfucker.
Oh, of course, because it's Puzzle Quest. Okay. It's not going to be a 5-hour completion at all. Mm-hmm. So
that's fine, though. It's still.
But it's Puzzle Quest, so it's fun as shit.
Yeah. Only reason I haven't gotten it because I haven't put enough time into gems, but I might grab it anyways because it looks so good.
Yeah, if you already own it on the 360, you don't need it. I'll be honest. Unless you want to have it on the new platform, or if you have it on PlayStation, you don't need to get the Xbox One version just for the DLC because you could get it there. If you don't have it, this is an easy buy it because it's fucking Puzzle Quest, it's Marvel, it's Way Forward, and it's awesome. So, yeah, Marvel Puzzle Quest. Buy it if you don't have it. If you do have it, you don't need it.
All right.
Fair enough. I might grab it tonight, actually.
Nice. Next up, we are going to talk Amazing Discoveries in Outer Space. Also known
We just discovered that whole gravity wave thing going on.
Well, it also goes by the name Adios. It was developed and published by Cosmic Picnic. It released February 2nd on the PS4 for $11.99. It is a... this is hard to describe. It is a space exploration 2D planetary side-scrolling wraparound platformer kind of... It's a whole bunch of different genres.
It's a game.
It's incredibly hard to describe. You start off in a ship. It comes back to power, and then you have to land on a planet. You control the ship through space, through different galaxies, landing on planets, and you have to, pick up different forms of fuel on the planets, return it to the ship, or pick it up directly with the ship. You have to scan the planets, scan different life forms, scan different, rocks and everything else to get enough energy to power up your ship to go to another galaxy and to eventually get back home. It is roguelike, so every time you play, it's a different experience. And it's hard as balls so far.
Sounds cool, though.
I have made it to, I think, Lightyear 9 only on the first section of the game. I believe there's three different playthroughs that you can do. There are shortcuts. Okay. Like, once you hit 4, you can start at 4. Once you hit 8, you could start at 8. I don't know if it goes to 10, if it goes to 12, 15. I don't know. I have died repeatedly, but I am having a fucking blast with the game. They said it's possible it might come to the Xbox One. It depends, obviously, on the performance that it does on the PS4. I'd love to see it come over. It's not like it requires anything special that would make it only playable on the PS4. But the game is a blast. If you have a PS4, you got $12, definitely buy this one. Check it out. I know I'm having a hard time describing it because of how unique it is. But don't get scared thinking that it might be something like Elite Dangerous or Starpoint Gemini, Rebel Galaxy. It is very, I don't want to say cartoony in style, but it's a stylized 2D visuals. It's not like a hardcore space exploration game. It's meant for quick pickup, play it, go through it, play it again, play it again. I think my longest playthrough before I died was 40 minutes or so. And okay. I've played through a bunch of different times. It's always fun getting further than you did last time, which is always you have to make sure that you manage your energy, which after a while you need to use the energy to obviously pilot the ship. You need to use the energy to heal your ship if it gets damaged, to heal the human if you get hurt. And if you run out of energy, game over. You're stranded in space.
Sounds interesting. I would definitely check it out if it hit the one.
Yeah. It's also cool because each planet has its own unique designs, obviously, because it's roguelike, but it has its unique gravity as well. So
okay,
some planets,
ask you. Nice.
Some planets you'll jump and you'll like shoot out of the atmosphere, which is hilarious. I think
that
the one
your resources,
huh?
Does that affect your resources? Like you need more fuel if the gravity is higher, or
no. I mean, if you float away, you're going to have to switch back to the ship and pick your ass up.
True.
But, yeah, just walking around the planet doesn't consume energy. You'll eventually get, like, a jetpack that could help you fly around a bit. Not totally necessary, but that can use up energy slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the exploring around a planet doesn't really take much energy at all.
It's just a little detail that just makes the game deeper and better.
Yeah. And it's not like a full 3D world that you're exploring. It's all on a 2D plane that you walk to the left and the planet just rolls to the, it's all circular.
Okay.
So it's really cool,
awesome.
Really unique, and definitely worth checking out if you're interested and you own a PS4.
So would it be like, I guess, in the bridge when you're in like the overworld?
I haven't played the bridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good. Hard as fuck. It's good.
Yeah.
You're hard as fuck.
Oh.
Thanks, man. Because I was talking to you guys.
Bitch, you hard.
Yeah.
Next game to talk about is Alphadia. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It was developed by EXE Create Incorporated, published by Kemco on the 3DS. It released February 4th for $9.99. It just hit Europe and Australia today.
How many games do you have to talk about today? Like 85?
Well, I'm going to do a few today and a few tomorrow.
So like 95?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It is an old school 2D Super Nintendo era style RPG. We previously on the show, we covered the game Chronos Arc, also from Kemco. This game, I just said, released $9.99. It was based on a mobile game from 2011. So it is...
I'm assuming they upped it up a little bit.
But it's they made it playable on 3DS instead of needing a touchscreen. Frame rate is kind of janky. Visually, looks like a Super Nintendo game. Audio sounds like a Super Nintendo game. Gameplay-wise, feels like a Super Nintendo RPG. If you are a fan of Super Nintendo RPGs, it's basically a must-own game. I believe Chronos Arc is a better game, and I want to officially give this one a try it, or at least like do some research on it before you buy it. I think $10 is a little bit steep for this one, especially because Chronos Arc was a much better title in my eyes. It ran better. It had faster walking speed. This game also has an auto battle, so that's helpful as well. So I can mindlessly just grind for a while. The battle system, it tries to incorporate kind of like a rock, paper, scissors style of elements that like one element trumps another into a big circle.
Yeah.
I've had pretty much zero use for the elemental stuff. I just melee everything. I toss on auto battle and... That's all. It's not a hard game, at least that I've done so far. I've put about 5 hours into it. It's fun. It's enjoyable. If the frame rate issues weren't there, I would definitely give it a higher recommendation. I don't know why the frame rate issues are there. I don't know if it's just how the game is or if it's something with the hardware or programming. I don't know. It's noticeable when you play it. It's just not... I don't know if it's frame rate or if it's just how the graphics are, but it's janky.
It sounds like a
annoying.
Pretty fun game.
It is a fun game. Again, if you're a Super Nintendo RPG fan, if you're a fan of RPGs from that era, old school RPGs, pick it up. It's worth your time. It's worth picking up, grabbing, playing through it. It's a lot of fun. If you're on the fence about it, it's a try it. It's not something you need to own. If you're not sure, pick up Chronos Arc instead, because that one I feel is a lot better.
Reminded me, did you guys talk about Pocket Mortys on the show?
No.
Man, I finally watched some footage for that. That is, like you're saying, Super Nintendo RPGs. If you like Pokemon, you need Pocket Mortys. Holy shit, dude. I hope it hits the Windows Phone.
I saw stuff about it. I just haven't played it myself.
What are the odds
exactly the same?
That everyone who is consistently, you know, hosting and guest hosting on this show is a Windows Phone owner.
Seriously, how the fuck are all of us Windows Phone owners?
I'm just I never really played games on my phone that much. And then I was like, I'm busting 3 hours a day. Why not get GamerScore?
that's actually a really great way to look at it.
I'm going to toss another game out there. I wasn't asked to give this a full review, but the guys were nice enough to hook me up with a code for it. I kind of had another world exclusive announcement that the game exists, although it kind of went under the radar. In Space We Brawl, Full Arsenal Edition, hits the Xbox One tomorrow, February 12th, for $8.99, developed and published by Forge Reply. It originally came out on the PS4 and Steam, and because they already had the official launch of it a few months ago when it first came out, I don't know the launch date. I asked if, am I allowed to talk about this? Is there an embargo? Anything like that? And the email was basically just well, we kind of did the whole review thing already, so you don't really need to worry about it. We're not having a proper campaign considering its porting and was published on PlayStation consoles in late 2014. That's the email.
That's fair.
Yeah, I actually contacted them regarding a trophy leak I saw for a different game that might be coming to consoles. They don't really want anything discussed on that, so I'm not going to name drop anything. But it eventually led to them hooking me up with a copy of the game. Local multiplayer space twin stick shooter battle game. You can have bots in it. Okay. There's challenges in it. It's fun stuff.
It's actually really fun.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's only $9. I don't remember if there's going to be a launch discount or anything. The big draw with this is there's 200 different ship combinations that you can do.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, just gave shiz an aneurysm.
Yeah,
no, that sounds horrible. It's too much.
Another fun thing with it is you can toss on random ship mode. So every time you die in a stage, you return as a completely random ship.
Oh, see, that'd actually be kind of fun.
Yeah. So you never know what the fuck you're going to be doing.
That's actually really cool.
You don't know what your primary weapon's going to be. You don't know what your spare weapon's going to be. And
200 combinations, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff, and the fact that it's only $9 is neat. I kind of wish that there was multiplayer to it, or online multiplayer or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's cool stuff. It's cool to see it come to the Xbox One, and the fact that it's only $9 is cool as shit too. So I'll give that one a try. It. I know they didn't want they didn't really care about an official review, but it's worth checking out. It looks like a lot of fun.
Interesting. Okay.
Very interesting.
I figure what
are the achievements?
I don't remember. I looked at them previously. I really don't remember.
Okay.
I should write that shit down for you, I guess.
Yeah,
for people like me, it's
win a battle with all 200 combinations.
Oh god,
That's what I was expecting, and I was like, "Fuck that shit."
Oh god, that would be evil.
That would be horrible.
So that's going to be the last one.
Actually, the achievements are up now, so you can look it up on Xbox Achievements and find out. There's 22 of them.
Okay.
Complete 1,000 fights. Kill 250 players with the plasma sword, 50 players without using weapons, fire 500,000 shots, kill 4,000 aliens, complete all weapon challenges, all ship challenges, mirror matches, win 25 1v3 matches.
Wow. All right, so
complete all 21 challenges, and then complete all 21 with S rank.
Sounds like a really quick and easy completion right there.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Complete 10 matches in less than 3 seconds.
Okay, so, wow.
And it's called instant death. So Kill 2,000 players. Yeah, I don't think you'll enjoy it.
Shit. Well, I mean, no, I definitely won't achievement hunt in it. Maybe I'll enjoy it, but I definitely won't waste my time trying to get achievements in that one.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of game where if you're trying to achievement hunt, you're not going to enjoy it.
It's fun, though. There's bots in it, so you don't need friends to play it. And then, of course, there's the challenges in the game that'll keep you replaying them until you can get an S rank, which you probably won't. I figure the last game we can discuss quickly since we did the giveaway is Bike Mayhem 2.
Sure. Right. I actually played that one.
Developed and published by Goldmark Studios. It released on the 5th for $6.99. I believe it's still on sale as well. Shiz, since you probably put the most time into it, do you want to talk about it?
I mean, I only played it for about an hour. And I don't know, it was fun. I feel like I was probably just too tired, so I was too hard on the game because I wasn't, like, it was okay, but I wasn't really having fun, if that makes sense. And it's just maybe because I just played Pump BMX too recently, that made me think less of it, you know? Because Pump BMX was a lot of fun and it was very, very easy to get into. This one, I just found, like, you rotate slowly and stuff like that. It's just, I was trying to do stuff that I was doing in Pump BMX and I was struggling hard, so I don't know.
I know Uneaten Lake was supposed to write in with his thoughts on it, but I didn't get anything from him.
Yeah, he was telling me that he's enjoying it more after putting some time in. Same as Eternal Rage, who hops on my streams now. They've been playing together, like getting the challenges, and it seems like they've both been enjoying it more.
Well, we could always try covering it a bit more tomorrow on tomorrow's episode, since we will be talking. Okay. With Mr. David Sterling about Qbert, which will be exciting.
Nice.
David the Rod Sterling.
Did he have anything? Wait, he's from Loot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Electronic Super Joy and Qbert.
Yep.
Man, those are two damn good releases to release close to each other. Holy shit.
And if you want to fire up the Xbox One store and browse to both games, you could see gameplay trailers featuring me of the SML podcast.
If you want to see someone nice and good to look at, don't.
Yeah, don't. It's a bad idea. Bad for everyone. I guess we'll officially cover Bike Mayhem on another day, just since we haven't put too much time into it ourselves. Been busy with 400 other games. I do want to give it a preliminary try. If nothing else, then it has trial.
Definitely.
It has a trial. It has a half-hour trial, so fucking try it.
And honestly, half an hour is a perfect amount of time to see if you like it or not. Like, you'll play one track and right away you know if the game is for you or not. It just, after that point, it just depends on how good you can get, you know? Yeah.
So for the three people
the game,
who
you won't
didn't
have fun
win,
it'll get hard.
For the three people who didn't win their copy today, grab the trial and give it a try. And then it's only $7.
You may end up not being happy and being like, well, I'm kind of glad.
I'm glad I don't have this on my game tag.
Or you may end up being like, God damn those SML motherfuckers.
Oh, sons of bitches giving it to a guy who played titty BMX instead.
They give it to a guy who almost died, those motherfuckers.
Yeah, if you ever played that game, you would be like, no, he deserves it. He's earned his right to playing a game that's not terrible.
Oh, so true. So true.
I haven't played it, but I don't want to. For some odd reason. For some odd reason, I just all of a sudden just I'm not interested in playing it. But yeah, I guess I'll try to play a little bit. Wow. I need to learn how to speak English next time I come I'm going to try to put some more time in, maybe at least another like hour or so before tomorrow.
Cool.
So hopefully I can say something more than like, yeah, I was bad, so I didn't really like it.
Fuck everybody, and have a nice day.
Did you guys actually talk about Unravel, speaking of being too tired to be good at it, and it pissed me off?
No, we didn't talk about Unravel yet. Don't forget, you've been on all our shows this week.
Yeah, but you might have talked about it another week.
Nope. It just came out this week.
I don't remember anything because I'm dumb.
We didn't get
and I don't sleep.
Codes to play it yet.
True. So. Yeah, neither did I. I didn't even bother. I was like...
I do want to try covering it on the show just because one of our listeners was gracious enough to donate an Xbox code to me to grab the game. So I will be covering Unravel possibly next week or possibly tomorrow, depends on how much time I could get into it. We've just been super, super bogged down.
Yeah, I still have a game to play. Yeah, I'm not getting to it tomorrow, Joe, just so you know.
Yeah, which game, Pappy?
Dona.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lucky, same thing. I grabbed it because of a donation, or two, I should say, which is awesome. But I feel like I have to play it with a clear mind. Like, I was just too tired, so I wasn't figuring out the puzzles, so it was pissing me off. And then because I was tired, you know, it's a slow game, so I was falling asleep, so I was basically just annoyed that I was so excited for it, and this is what I got. But then thinking back, I was like, oh, you know what? This game is actually really well made. If anything, it's gorgeous as hell. It's one of the best-looking one games.
Oh, Unravel is jaw-droppingly gorgeous.
It's ridiculous how good that game looks. Yeah. So I definitely want to... I'm about halfway through, so I think I'm going to try to finish it tomorrow. But, oh, man. It is... Yeah. It's really well made.
Some breaking contest news on the show. We are going to have another game to give away.
Oh, my God.
I just got the email moments ago.
Oh, nice.
From Stephanie Palermo of Capcom.
Oh, Capcom. Okay.
Hey, Joe, we got some codes in today from Sony, and since you showed interest in the game, I'd like to pass one along for you to play and a couple for giveaways on your podcast if that's something you think would be fun for your listeners. And that game...
Yes.
And that game is Breath of Fire 3 for the PSP, PSP, PS Vita, PSTV.
That is fucking awesome.
It is.
That might be how we get Dale to write into the show.
It is the digital release of the PSP game that never released in America. It released in Europe, and a lot of people have imported it, but we never got it in America ourselves. And the best part is that I own the game, and I can't find my PSP, so I can't play the game I own. So I messaged her, and she was awesome enough to hook us up with a couple of codes. So I'll be tweeting out about that shortly. But a massive, massive thank you to Capcom for hooking us up with some Breath of Fire 3 PSP codes, which again are playable.
There, everybody.
Are playable on Vita and PSTV if you own one of those things.
If you own a thing. You can play it on the thing.
And on that note, I think I'm going to track down some Breath of Fire music to play on the show for this episode's music.
Cool.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
So,
that's really cool. Capcom, man. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made it, Joe. You made it.
She's been awesome with our show. Yeah. I'm super happy that she's supported our show the way she has with our Resident Evil giveaway last October and now Breath of Fire 3 giveaway. So... massive thanks to her. I'm sure she's listening all the time.
Obviously. That's how she gave you the code. She knows where to go. She knows you're the guys.
So, a bunch of try-its today. Buy it. An interview.
And a try it on the PS4.
Yeah.
But wait.
You have no idea how loud I want to yell right now.
Why?
No.
I'm 17 out of 20 tracks deep into this Trials achievement. And I don't know how it crashed. I think I was just playing it too safe. I basically just like, I did crazy jumps and nice landings and stuff. And then I basically just flumped over like, nah, I'm done.
Hey,
what
Shiz,
for
our final words this episode, how about you tell us how you really feel?
I like this headset. I don't want to blow it out.
I like your butthole.
Yeah, I just crashed again. So, yay.
We'll be right back.